1490 WGCH, WGCH.com anywhere. WGCH New Center time is 7:52, first Thursday of each month, joined by State Representative Tina Korpis, and very pleased that she joins me in studio this morning. Good morning, Representative.
Good morning, Tony. It's nice to be with you.
All right. Good to meet you. Good to see you. And tell us what's been going on this summer.
Thank you. So it's been a busy summer, and I've gotten a question from a lot of people about developments on this housing bill this summer. So I'd love to talk about that if we can today. As everyone knows, the omnibus housing bill, HB 5002, passed both houses but was vetoed by Governor Lamont on June 23rd, the last possible day that veto could happen before the bill became law. And it has been said over the summer many times that the legislature will reconvene in a special session to reconsider a lot of the things in that housing bill. But I can say, as we sit here today on September 4th, there's been no special session called thus far. So what has been going on over the summer, if not the drafting of a new bill? Well, I wanted to let people know that there was a big development at the end of August, and that is that some of the most important nonprofits in our state got together and proposed an alternative to 5002. And those nonprofits include the Connecticut Council of Governments, which is a regional organization which divides the states into about 9 different regions. We in Greenwich and Stamford are considered part of Western Connecticut region. And they have a lot of influence. They function a little bit like counties for purposes of funding. Anyway, they and 2 other important nonprofits in our state got together and they proposed an alternative. An alternative housing bill, which I think took a lot of the bad things out of what was in 5002 and at least had a municipality-driven framework for how we might build affordable housing in a more reasonable way in Connecticut.
Okay, so is that going to be on the table, do you think?
Well, the bill removed fair share. It removed work, live, ride for folks that know what all of these terms mean. And it really required each region to put forth their best efforts to come up with a plan for affordable housing. So where did that thing end up going? Right now, it is Governor Lamont said he liked a lot of parts of it because the towns led the charge. The folks that did not like it said that it didn't have sufficient teeth in it. I actually disagree with that. The bill as proposed said that each municipality had to put forth their best efforts to come up with an affordable housing plan. It asked the state to put in money. It made sure that the affordable housing plans, because they were town and city driven, were in accordance with local zoning requirements. And I think it had a lot of merits. And the standard under which towns were governed was a best effort standard. It may seem like semantics, but it's really not. Best efforts requires a lot of reasonable, conceivable, leave no stone unturned kind of action. So I do think that it was a real plan. And it's sort of a little bit in purgatory right now. Unfortunately, we as the minority party do not have a seat at the table in these conversations. This is one of the problems with the supermajority, in my opinion. But we'd like to see something happen on this bill. But I think that the other side of the aisle between the governor's office and the legislature has disagreement. So we haven't heard that a special session's coming together.
Kind of answers my other question about that. All right. What other things talk about with constituents over the summertime? Something we mentioned, I think, last month about the budget bill, the federal budget bill, and impact on Connecticut's. Go ahead, repeat that.
Yes, thank you, Tony. You know, I held a number of constituent coffees this summer, and people were asking me that. How does the big, beautiful bill affect Connecticut? You know, we don't 100% know for sure, but I would just like to update people on something I mentioned before, which is that in the budget that we passed this past session, there was a provision which said if the federal budget cuts our funding to Connecticut in the coming fiscal years in a way that was not the case for the fiscal year, which ended June 30th, 2025. Our Secretary of the Office of Policy and Management, within 30 days, has to propose to the General Assembly how we're going to make up that shortfall in Connecticut. And as we sit here today on September 4th, no such trigger has yet happened. I sit on the Appropriations Committee. We've been meeting about other things. But that has not yet been triggered. So I want to give people a little bit of comfort. I'm not saying the bill is not going to have any effect or hasn't, but that provision that we put in our budget has not yet been triggered in Connecticut.
All right. Talk about a couple of local things. The former Stop and Shop site in Glenville. What's going on?
This is all a very important one. I know my family, who lives very close to that, is waiting to see what happens there. So DeChico's, which is a family-owned market, which has about 11 or 12 stores in New York, is opening their first Connecticut store right there in Glenville, where the Stop and Shop used to be. And John DeChico Jr., was very gracious and took me around the site, and it's going to be a great store. It's going to sort of be a one-stop grocery. You can get all of your paper towels and that kind of thing, and you can also get higher-end gourmet items. They have a bakery, they have a butcher, they have a catering business. So I think it's going to be wonderful, and that's opening first quarter of 2026 is the plan.
All right. I don't remember who mentioned this about how they had to go through a whole zoning thing, even though some things were in place already. It might have been Senator Fazio mentioning that, something with zoning. I'm kind of throwing it out there, probably unclear to what I'm talking about.
I did talk with John DeChico about that. One thing about that, which really, hopefully I can work on this coming legislative session. You know, they run about 11 or 12 stores in New York. And I asked him, how is Connecticut, since this is your first store, is it hospitable to you as a business owner? Is there anything you've had, any hoops you've had to jump through, or any things we're doing particularly well that we can learn from? And he said, even though there was a supermarket in that space before with a sewer hookup, they've had to go through about 6 months of permitting in order to get the exact same sewer hookup for their store. And this kind of requirement doesn't even exist in New York State. So I learned from that conversation. I know it sounds small, but these are the kinds of things we need to get out of the way of business owners to make Connecticut a more hospitable place for commerce.
All right. State Representative Corpus, we've run out of time. Appreciate you coming in today, though.
Thanks for having me, Tony. Okay. Take care.
Same to you. All right. That's State Representative Tina Corpus joins us first Thursday of each month. Next Thursday at 7:50 will be State Representative Stephen Meskers of Greenwich.